Shalom, אנחנו לומדים מספר
Hello.
פסח, עמוד 279, מאמר רבש.
We are reading the article by Rabash. It's called Bo, Come. You can watch the lesson at camp.tv and also has questions there. Selected questions that are relevant to the topic will be asked during the lesson. So Rabash, the name of the article is Bo, Come. Come unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may set these tokens of mine within him. The interpreters asked about the words, for I have hardened. Since the Creator gave him the hardening of the heart, meaning that the Creator denied him the choice, why is it his fault? They also asked about the words, come unto Pharaoh. It should have said, go unto Pharaoh, since come means let us go together, meaning that the Creator will go together with Moses. To understand the above, we should proceed with what is written. Our sages said, one should always see oneself as half guilty, half innocent. If he performs one mitzvah, commandment, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit. We should ask, one, how can one say that he is half, etc., while he knows about himself that he has more transgressions than mitzvot, commandments? Two, if he performs one mitzvah, they said that he has sentenced himself to the side of merit, but they said forever, meaning that even after he has sentenced himself to the side of merit, he should also see himself as half and half. So how can such a thing be said when he already performs one mitzvah? Three, if he knows about himself that he has more merits and fewer iniquities, why must he say half and half? Our sages said, anyone who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than him. We should ask why he deserves such a harsh punishment that if he is great, he is given more evil inclination than a small person is given. The thing is that our sages come to teach us the way in the work of the Creator, to advise us how to emerge from the authority of the evil inclination. Therefore, they instructed us that one should not say that since he has fewer merits and many iniquities, he can no longer decide that from now on I will walk on the good path, since he sees that he is under the authority of evil, because he has many faults and few merits. And he concludes that all this extends from his being born with bad qualities, and he has no way to emerge from the governance of evil. The choice that one is given to decide to the side of merit pertains specifically to one in whom the powers of good and bad are equal. At that time, it is possible to decide to the good. But for one whose bad is greater than the good, he can no longer decide. Our sages said about this, one should always see oneself as half guilty. As in, anyone who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater than him. Since if someone becomes great and remains in the bad from before he became great, then he will have much good and a little bit of bad. And in this way, it is impossible to make a choice. Since just as there is no choice if the bad is more than the good, there cannot be choice if the good is more than the bad. Therefore, one who is great, whose good is great, his evil must be increased from above. So he will have the exact same measure as the good. Then, when the two are equal, there can be choice. It therefore follows that if a person sees that his good is very small, he should know that his bad is also very small. Although he knows that he has made many transgressions, he should still know that from above, the bad in him was diminished because the good in him was diminished. So, he would be able to make a choice. As for the many bad deeds he did, there are corrections for this, through hell, or through repentance from fear, or from love. But concerning doing, henceforth, there are corrections that diminish the bad, so it is not greater than the good. So he will be able to choose. Thus, a person can always choose, since before he has performed one mitzvah, the authority of the bad is not greater than the authority of the good, although he has many bad deeds. After he has performed one mitzvah and decided to the side of merit, his evil is increased, meaning the bad is empowered so as to govern to the same extent as the good. It follows that then too he is half and half. By this we will understand the verse, "Come unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart." Once Pharaoh has already sentenced himself to the side of merit, saying, "The Lord is righteous," he was great. Therefore, he could no longer make a choice. For this reason, there was a need for the Creator to harden his heart, meaning increase his evil, since only in this way is there room for choice. It follows that the hardening of the heart, the ability to choose, was not taken away from him. On the contrary, here he was given the possibility to make a choice. What are corrections through hell?
Different torments.
When the torments increase, doesn't he lose the freedom of choice? It's not half and half anymore.
Half and half is where a person should always see himself that way. That there's always before him this opportunity and what he's inclined towards. Even though it's half and half, so to what direction can I associate myself? If I'm exactly in a balance of forces, only by the environment, I have no other choice. If I'm really in the middle, then only the environment can decide this, where I associate myself to them, and then with their forces, I can determine myself to this skill of merit. Now, what are you asking?
Through corrections through hell, do I not lose my choice, my ability to choose that I'm supposed to have?
All the different corrections are done either by us associating ourselves to the good or causing us to be associated to the bad. Now, what is hell? There are all kinds of degrees of the burdening of the heart, regret, in general, different unpleasant feelings. He can be even impressed in ascent, in a time of an ascent. It all depends on how a person prepares himself. And then, how does he decide what hell is? Do you understand? There are those people for which disconnect from the Creator for 1 minute is hell already. And there are those that, it's not too bad. And another month, at the end of life, I'll come, I'll pray, and everything will be fine. Do you understand? This all depends on a person. It's not talking about some specific, special degree that exists and a person enters it, but rather towards what a person actually defines for himself. More? Yes?
We read in the article that the truth is that a person really has freedom to choose. He's half worthy, half guilty, half innocent. But there's also the advice of our sages that one should always see oneself as half guilty, half innocent. So how do we see this truth as they advise us?
What does that mean? It's a must for a person to always see himself as if he's in a state of choice.
Exactly. But at least from my experience, I can say that I don't always see myself in that state. So, what can you do?
So what do you do then? Do you do something?
Normally, no.
We'll wait.
Well, that's the bitter truth.
Do you have at any given moment the opportunity to add something?
From my experience, I can say yes.
So there, you're already in choice. There are no states that are defined from above, but only from a person, just like we talked about hell now or heaven. These are all defined within a person. What is heaven and what is hell? What does it mean that I'm half and half? And
I just want to summarize to see that I got it. So to add means this is the advice by which to come to feel that you are half guilty, half innocent, to add in effort and labor.
Seeing oneself all the time in half-half is a must, because only from that you can operate. Therefore, at any given moment we have an opportunity.
And we just need to look for it?
Not even to look so much. I would say it's clear to us what to do. It's from the love of the created beings to the love of the Creator. In that direction. What can I add in that direction?
Thank you very much.
Ashkelon.
If the middle is always a place for annulment before the group, the books, the teacher, or is there something there that we need to give to the ego?
Again,
is the middle always a place for annulment before the group, the teacher, and the books? Or is there something there, even small, that we have to give to the ego to feed it with something?
To feed the ego in something, are we obligated to do that? For example,
if I determine that their discernment is this or that, and now I'm half guilty. So I have to be in a place that I call the middle, the center of the group, annulment of the acting mind that is in the books, to adhere to the teacher. So because I'm in the middle, should I also somehow relate to the ego? If I was so much on the right anymore, maybe I should also touch the left somehow.
Meaning we need to revive the ego somewhat, otherwise it will have no rights to exist. It will die, God forbid. We won't have what to work with there. Yes?
Otherwise, maybe we won't have respect or we'll be indifferent to things that awaken.
Ah. Meaning, because by the ego, I nevertheless choose all kinds of things in life. Now I'm using it. I'm in it. If I won't revive it, then what will remain for me? I don't have a desire to bestow. The desire to receive, I'm now putting to death. So what will I have? That's how it is. What will we do? So we won't put it to death. What should we do? What do we learn from Egypt?
We have this come to Pharaoh thing.
No. Before come to Pharaoh, we learn from Egypt a simple thing. We are concerned with connection. We care for the connection in all that's possible. More ego, less ego, like this, like that. And the main thing is connection. What Rabash writes, we try to do between us. You know how with children you let them draw something or do something, you know, some activities. You know, it's all, it doesn't matter. We're also like that in such a way we make a connection. The main thing is to do. Inside, trying and trying and trying. With our ego, with anything that you want. Doesn't matter. As long as there's connection. Because we can't. We don't have any other qualities, any other kilim. Once we finish that, it'll take some time. We start to discover we lose the desire, we lose our direction, we don't understand, we're confused. We start to discover new discernments. Those new discernments are exactly what's against the connection. It's not that you don't have what to do in life, and so on. Ego is called what is against connection that is disclosed to us. Therefore, first of all, we need to enter into connection. I seek my brethren to enter into connection, to be in the connection as much as possible, to enjoy the connection and all that's in the 7 years of satiation. And then your evil inclination begins to be revealed to you, the evil Pharaoh, and then the work begins. Also, for a connection, but already when we're not capable. And then the people of Israel sigh from the work. They already descend, they're not capable. Because they were once connected. Once we were truly connecting, hugging. Everything was fine. Today I can't come close to him. I can't even look at him. What a face. Everyone became all of a sudden. What dummies. I didn't even know that before. Look who I'm dealing with here. I want to run away from this. I am not willing to remain 1 minute. That's called that they want connection. I want connection. But them? No. Where am I? I need to look for some other place. That's the 7 years of hunger. Then you search what to do. And that's already advancement. First of all, connection, and then the resistance to the connection. Otherwise, it won't happen. That's why we're not discussing now any discernments other than one. Yes.
Rav, what does it mean that Rabash writes, Pharaoh has already sentenced himself to the side of merit when he said the Lord is righteous, and then he was great? How? Pharaoh is the will to receive, no? So how does the will to receive sentence itself to the side of merit?
Let's say he says, so what do you do?
With the will to receive?
Yes, he tells you that everything is righteous. Everything is truly righteous. What do you do?
So I go and I use it like fuel, like motivation.
The fact that he says about the Creator that he is righteous and he is wicked, what can you do about that?
Only to turn to the Creator through the group.
From this moment onwards, the true correction begins. As you've revealed within the will to receive itself, that it is completely meant in order to bestow.
But I thought that the point of Moses that goes up and can look at the will to receive from his side is the only one that can detect that the will to receive.
But you see that it's Pharaoh that's doing it, not Moses.
Right, so how does it work?
You can't understand this with your mind. You're impressed by it inside. It's not worthwhile to try to move it to the brain. It blocks you. That will block you. Other questions? Yes, Baruch.
What are bad deeds? Can you give an example?
Why should I give you an example about that? All the deeds that are against connection, in which we want to reveal the quality of bestow, and then the quality of love.
And what is the control of evil?
That which does not let us do that.
If I know that I only have a will to receive in order to receive, where is the control of the good? What can I name that is the control of the good?
You do in the will to receive what is given to you. Connection in the group, longing towards the connection alone. You are constantly trying to aim yourself to that. And from that, you see how much you're capable or not to do that. But that's work.
But I don't understand, what is the control of the good?
The control of the good you don't have yet. Wait with the control of the good. As much as one subdues himself before the group, towards the Creator that's in the group, in a way that they're all Ein Sof, eternally, and he himself is an absolute zero, then in such a way he can receive through them the reforming light. Then things will be good for him. Yes.
Why should Pharaoh have choice?
Not just a choice. It's not one-sided where Pharaoh is something bad and that's it. No. Pharaoh is, like Baal HaSulam writes, he had to understand the whole process that we're going through and to agree to it and to let them leave Egypt. And meaning the ego eventually needs to become that endless desire.
So the question is, if he should decide on this, why did they have to run? There's a kind of a...
No, you have to run to the degree of Binah, you need to receive the Torah, and you're taking Pharaoh with you together, slowly, slowly, layers by layers, slices by slices, you correct him.
There are two things here that happen at once.
What does it mean? Why did you enter into Egypt? To take all the ego out of Egypt and correct it. In Egypt itself, meaning under the general control of the ego, you can't correct it. You need to raise Malchut to Bina and to start to correct it in like a slicing salami.
Can you say that the children of Israel running, they take from Egypt what Pharaoh didn't know they would take?
We take all the kilim. I don't know he knew or didn't know. Actually, all the kilim of Pharaoh are taken in that ascent, where they're used, and all the next degrees are only from the vessels of Egypt. There's no more than the vessels of Egypt.
Can you ask this from another angle? Let's say in this explanation it's more or less clear, but if Pharaoh is the posterior of the Creator, what does it mean that there should be choice?
The whole kli that the Creator created and shattered and gave under to the control of the impurity, the desire to receive in order to receive, is called Pharaoh. Well, what?
It's as if there's only the Creator working on Pharaoh and opposite him. The whole work is done.
Maybe don't say Pharaoh. Simply our ego, the desire to receive in order to receive, must be corrected. So we slowly, through our connection of it with Bina, correct it. We, first of all, we raise it to Bina, to bestow in order to bestow. And then we bring Bina down into it and receiving in order to bestow. And that's the correction. When we talk about Egypt, Pharaoh, the Egyptians, the Jews, maybe it's confusing a little. Talk about terms that, Kabbalistic terms, then there's no confusion. Okay. There are no questions from no place. Yes, Mush.
Concerning the discernment of the 7 years of satiation.
Of satiation?
Yes, and hunger too. So during the satiation, a person enjoys the connection, right?
Enjoys the connection. All is good.
And what's the hunger? That the flavor of connection disappears?
Yes. Yeah, before that, he thought that they were connected in a direct manner. As they were connecting, they came to the essence, to the goal. That's it. Where the will to receive supports the connection. We'll have a group, we'll have dissemination, we'll be strong, everything will be fine. And then what begins to be revealed is those 7 years of hunger. Meaning, for what, why, I don't want, I don't have any benefit in this, and so on. Meaning, what starts to being disclosed is, and the main thing that is being revealed, is an attraction towards the purpose of creation. For what? Why? What do I have from this? This we don't have. And then the matter of Moshe begins.
So the good taste disappears, or the strength to connect disappears, and because of that he feels hunger?
That's the same thing. There's no attraction to it. And the people of Israel sighed from the work. They thought that they're building and building something good. They built, but they have nothing from that.
No, maybe I do have some good taste and connection, but I am powerless to do it.
What taste do you have to it? The taste is if there's a Creator in the connection. If there's no Creator in the connection, then what taste do you have in it? What point? Do you understand?
So we're talking about a purposeful connection?
Then the goal is revealed. In the beginning, yes, goal, but each time the goal is more and more, it's depicted in a more clearer way.
But the flavor of connection during the 7 years of satiation is not purposeful connection?
Yes, but purposeful in such a way that it's good for the ego. It's good for our Pharaoh. We are still not aware inside us that we will need here to really cut ourselves and to rise above reason. The transition from the 7 years of satiation to the 7 years of hunger is where we start to discover that the work has to be without any address to oneself. Okay, that's how it is in Egypt. Yes.
When a person is given some trouble, the whole purpose of the trouble is to remind a person to turn to the Creator and to run to connection, if you can put it this way.
Yes.
What happens when the trouble disappears? What should he do?
He himself needs to run to the connection to the Creator.
By what power?
From the force of the group, from the Arvut. The question is right. From the force of the group in Arvut.
When there was trouble, he ran with...
egoistic.
Yeah, but very powerfully.
Yes, of course, clearly.
The power of the group in the Arvut is so-so.
Oh, so here you have a choice. This is the choice, to strengthen myself in this or not. The fact that you're given... some stimulus by that stab that you're running is just an example that this is how you need to connect and to run without the stab.
But how do you make them equal?
The greatness of the goal, the greatness of the Creator. You heard already. Dudi, what did you want? Something similar?
On a broader scale, on Saturday I heard you say that humanity is at the beginning of the 7 years of hunger.
Yes, but in a corporeal manner. Guys, you can't put all of this. There are degrees. Humanity, in the way that it is in despair. It's in the revelation of all kinds of new processes that... all that was there before doesn't work, doesn't help, and so on. That's the recognition of evil. But it's not the same Egypt. It discovers that nothing is working, all the methods don't work. And that's advancement. But the advancement is such that if we don't bring correction in its time, then their advancement will lead to a world war.
What is the hunger of humanity?
The hunger of humanity is, it's not even for the future. No one's even asking about the future anymore. It's that the systems stop functioning. I'm not even talking about education. I'm talking about the governance, the regime, about trade and industry, about the economical system, banks and as such. It's beginning to kind of devour itself. It's starting to eat itself up, and it's very dangerous. Meaning, they don't know how... Yes.
Dennis from Moscow is asking, today the Moscow group is doing the Yeshivat Chavarim, the Assembly of Friends, and the topic is the Exodus from Egypt. How do you make Bnei Baruch become 110 during the Yeshivat Chavarim?
Well, you need to know this. How? Only through that inner preparation of each and every one. Only by that. Inner preparation.
Good. Daily task.
No.
Okay, friends, the daily task. Hello, friends, the daily task. We scrutinize during the day in the 10 what it means to be a true friend in every way and how is it revealed among us. Again, we scrutinize during the day in the 10 what it means to be a true friend in every way and how is this revealed among us. L'chaim. Announcements. The World Yeshivat Chavarim today at 6:45 Israel time. We invite our friends from the world Kli to unite and be together in the World Yeshivat Chavarim. We thank our viewers on TV. Have a good day. Sorry, now Asaf. I just wanted to say that after the Yeshivat Chavarim today, it's at 8 p.m. Israel time, the world connects to a special meal in North America with speakers from all over the world as preparation for North American Congress. I just want to remind you that this thing is happening and that we are approaching 300 registrants to the Congress. And we want to remind everyone that this is the time, I mean, we're focused on exiting Egypt, but when we go out of Egypt, we get to the Congress immediately.
I am again asking and awakening all our friends in North America, as quick as possible, register for the convention, because this already shows on the connection and the unity that's already happening from the moment a person registers. It's very, very important. This points to, it evokes one, it shows that he does want to be in connection with everyone, and please do it as soon as possible. Good luck to us all.
Intro nights in the wisdom of Kabbalah. The Kabbalah Alam is inviting you to intro nights in Haifa, Petah Tikva, Tel Aviv, Rishon LeZion, Jerusalem. Entry costs 30 shekels via SOP. For details, call 1-700-519-209 or go to camp.co.ia. We're all as one. The World Kabbalah Convention in North America. We're invited all the Kabbalah students to a congress in New Jersey, U.S., between the 3rd and 6th of May. For details, go to 1.kabbalah.info. Now everyone writes the summary of the lesson for himself, and we'll dedicate 5 minutes to this purpose for writing your personal summary and conclusions from the lesson. Every friend is invited to share his summary on Sviva Tava. We thank you. Have a good day and good night. We're going to sing a song together.
Come on, people, gather round
above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round.
Let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round.
The circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round.
Put a smile on your face. Clear your senses, free your mind. Your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together. So get up on your feet. Completing the circle.
Come on. Gather round,
let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round.
The circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round.
Put a smile on your face. Clear your senses, free your mind. Your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together. So get up on your feet.
Come my way.